You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, live from Radio City Music Hall in New York City on ESPN 850 WKNR and online at clevelandbrowns.com.
The 2014 official draft caps and the new Browns Spring Collection are now in. Visit the team shop in downtown Cleveland at First Energy Stadium, open 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, or shop online on the Browns mobile app or at shop.clevelandbrowns.com. Tonight, two players, maybe three, we don't know how it's going to go, are going to be wearing that new official draft cap when they are selected by the Cleveland Browns live here at Radio City Music Hall later tonight. And joining us from Berea now, from ESPN, Sal Palantonio. And Sal, you're there in the building. What is the latest, what's the buzz that you're hearing about the Browns in this draft?
Well, I think they're sitting in a great spot at number four. I think they have plenty of options. I know that they feel like they can get a player at four that they like, but I think they could have the option of moving down if the player there that they want is not optimum. But I think they're in a pretty good position. And any time you've got five picks in the top 83, you have the ability to really control the board. So I think the that they're definitely in a position where they can get some starters and get some serious help on this football team. And, I went out to dinner on Tuesday night with head coach Mike Pettine, and, he and I went through the depth chart, and I pointed out to him that I think on this 22-man starting unit, you probably have 10 or 11 guys that would start for any team, and we went through them. And so you don't really need a whole lot here. It reminds me a lot of the Kansas City Chiefs right before Andy Reid got there. We had all those Pro Bowl players, and they were underachieving. And I think the same situation holds true here. I think they've got talent on this roster. The additions of Carlos Dansby and Dante Whitner, I think, will bring a level of toughness and leadership on defense. And you already have that on the offensive line. I think if you get some playmakers on the offensive line, this team is definitely a team that's headed in the right direction.
Sal, you said you had an opportunity to talk with Mike Pettine and spend some time with him, have dinner, and I know you know him very well. What is your sense of, this is first-year head coach with first-year general manager tackling an enormous draft, 10 picks, two in the first round, all the positioning that we talked about. Just give me a sense of the demeanor that you're picking up and level of confidence and trust in what they feel they have as a plan.
I think you hit the two key words correctly. I think there's confidence here. I think there's trust. These are football grinders. I think they're very grounded as a result. They really know what they want. We went to dinner at a place called Johnny's. It was in the west side on Fulton Street.
Yep.
Real nice place. And before the fried calamari even got out on the table, Mike Pettine was telling me he's looking for players who can eat glass. He wanted that toughness, that hard-nosed toughness. So I think he has a real sense. He obviously got it from his father, Mike Pettine Sr., all those years in Bucks County. He got it from coaching in Baltimore, coaching under Rex Ryan in New York. He has a clear idea of the players he's looking for. We were out to dinner also with his new defensive coordinator, Jim O'Neill, who did such a great job turning around that Buffalo defense so quickly. So, I think that's the thing. They've got confidence that their plan can work and their type of people will work together. And here's the thing, too. Before I came here, and you and I sat down in the very studio where I'm sitting, Vic, and we talked about the relationship between Ray Farmer and Mike Pettine. It was sort of a shotgun marriage between these two guys here, right?
Yep.
It's pretty clear that these two guys really get along with each other and like one another.
Yeah, and I think that chemistry, that camaraderie is certainly something that's going to be very important, and I think will have a lot to do with how this draft does go for the Cleveland Browns tonight. Talking, of course, with Sal Palantonio from ESPN, who is live in Berea today covering the draft there. And, Sal, when you talk about the good position the Browns are going to be in at four, and I agree with you, I think they're going to have an opportunity to get a very good player or move back and still get a very good player. Do you have a sense right now of how the top three picks are going to go and what players are going to be on the board for the Browns at number four?
Yeah, I would say that they're probably going to go for an impact player on defense. And one guy that it's pretty clear that they like is Justin Gilbert, the cornerback out of Oklahoma State.
Interesting. Yeah, and they need, obviously, that other corner besides Joe Hayden. We've always listed corner as an important need for this draft. I think others might have been more fixated on thinking wide receiver, thinking quarterback, thinking one of those dynamic positions, but certainly that's an important one.
It's an important one in this kind of defense.
Yeah,
absolutely. You know, they're going to be in nickel all the time, you know, especially in this division, when you've got three quarterbacks who are going to throw the ball all the time. So they have to have another corner, and that's something that Mike Pettine stressed right from the beginning.
What about quarterback, Sal, and how you see them addressing that? Do you think it's a first-round selection?
Quarterback as a first-round selection, probably not at number four.
Okay, how about, but 26?
26 could be pretty interesting. You know, they've commissioned this study here, this $100,000 analytics study that was done by Joe Banner and the new team president. And the conclusions of the study I was able to determine, talking to people here, is that Teddy Bridgewater was the best possible quarterback in this draft to fit as an NFL pro-style quarterback. So that's something to consider, that maybe they would be interested in Teddy Bridgewater.
What do you think of the timing of the fact that on Tuesday, Jay Glazer definitively said that the Browns were not going to take Johnny Manziel at number four, and then now this study comes out, or at least reports of this study come out about this analytics report and Teddy Bridgewater there so close to the draft? What do you make of that, if anything?
Well, I think the Jay Glazer report was sort of like a response to whether or not they would take Manziel. And if Jim Haslam was calling the shots
right
here from behind the scenes. And, you know, I was able to determine and report that Haslam came into the draft meeting on Tuesday and tried to put that all to rest, all of that speculation. And I actually talked to Mike Pettine on camera today about that very thing. And he said, you know, we were not shocked that Jim Haslam would do that. We didn't flinch at all because we knew that this was Ray Farmer's draft.
That's so interesting. Sal Palantonio, ESPN, joining us. He's the embedded reporter in Berea. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura in Radio City Music Hall in New York. Sal, the other part of this is, you know, the trade scenarios that are always tossed out there, and it seems as if the spots that would be ripe for teams to want to move up, especially when you throw a name like Justin Gilbert into the mix, the cornerback from Oklahoma State, if that's something that really interests the Browns, I'm wondering now if that would be more interesting, more appealing to them at, you know, pick 6 or 8 or 10, you know, somewhere in a few picks down from where they are, and therefore work a downward trade to achieve that.
Yeah, I think that would be the case. It would be something that they would do, you know, if they had moved down from the number 4 spot. And I can tell you from what I'm hearing here in the building that the one team that they've had serious trade discussions with is the Atlanta Falcons, and they picked 6th. So if the Falcons, you know, would be the ones that jumped up to 4, and the Browns got an extra draft pick, you know, the way that the Browns would move down there and why they would move down would be either get a corner or keep in mind Mike Evans as a possibility to try to take Mike Evans at 6 because they don't think he's worth taking at 4, and to prevent Tampa Bay from taking Evans at 7, forcing then Tampa Bay to go to Plan B because I know right. They really want Evans.
And Sal, do you have a sense of who it would be that Atlanta would want? Would that be a scenario you see playing out only if Khalil Mack or Jadeveon Clowney is on the board at number 4?
Exactly. That either Clowney or, you know, it'd be shocked if Clowney were there. But, yeah, if Mack were to drop, that would be the key. But, you know, I don't understand why the Browns wouldn't take Mack unless, of course, they think that they don't want to put another guy in that spot because they already have Mingo.
What's interesting, and again, we're visiting with Sal Palantonio from ESPN, and I know your relationship with Mike goes back a lot of years, and the one thing, you know, in just getting to know him through time, I mean, he's a defensive-oriented guy, but in the time that he's been with the Browns, you know, he's preached all these buzzwords like toughness and, you know, play like a Brown. I mean, usually those descriptions fit the defensive side of the ball. That's where you get to exert and show that stuff. And it, I guess part of me isn't surprised at all that a coach with defensive roots, with his first draft, is going to want to, you know, do something that puts that kind of signature on the team. Right, Sal?
There's no question about it. He's got to change the mentality. I mean, you got six Pro Bowl players, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and they, you could say they underachieved. Now, I mean, one of the reasons why they underachieved was because there was upheaval at the quarterback position. So you have to settle that down. And I think the real issue is, can you settle down the quarterback position so that you're competing in a division where you have three very good, and some would suggest two great quarterbacks, and two, can you score enough points to keep up with the competition?
Right.
And, you know, when you're 27th in the league in points scored last year, but you're still, you know, you've got some talent on the offensive line. You got two Pro Bowlers on the offensive line. So how do you take that next step? Well, first of all, you got to be able to dictate a little bit. That means you got to be able to dictate on your offensive line with the running game a little bit. Keep your quarterback on schedule. Keep him from being under duress all of the time. And keep him on the field. You know, the big question about Brian Hoyer is, it's not his toughness, it's not his makeup, it's not his skill set, is whether or not he's durable enough to make it through a 16-game season. If you're always confronting that question,
right,
then you always have instability at the quarterback position.
Right, and I think that's why the team needs to get that stability at the quarterback position. I think you articulated it perfectly. And another reason why I think offense will be a big priority in this draft, because last year's Browns team could win games in one fashion, with a great defensive performance. It would be great for Cleveland Browns fans, and I'm sure for the coaches, to be able to win by outscoring somebody if you had to get into a boat race, or by taking it down on the defensive side of the ball as well. But having the ability to win on both sides of the ball certainly is something that the Browns have not had in a while.
Yeah, and I think they'll be under the right kind of leadership. If they can get that fixed offensively, I think they can compete. And I think right now they're moving in the right direction.
So we've heard reports about a potential trade into the end of the first round, giving the Browns three first-round draft picks tonight. Do you get a sense that that is likely, unlikely? What are you hearing on that front?
I think it's unlikely. I really do. I think the Browns are, you know, they're in a position where they're going to be able to take, you know, two really good players, and I don't think we're, you know, I'm having a hard time hearing you guys because someone put on a television set in the studio really loud, and it's difficult for me to hear your questions, unfortunately.
All right, I'm sorry that's happening there.
We'll
have to deal with that.
I'm trying my best to hear your questions. Unfortunately, I can't hear them.
Okay. Sal, the last thing before we let you go, just with regard to the way this thing will ultimately, you know, play out, and you're there reporting about it from from the national perspective, is there a sense that, you know, the Browns, because of the picks they have and how many and where they're how many they have near the top, the whole idea that in many ways do they kind of control the way this draft is going to unfold?
I think they have a chance to do that for sure. I really do, but it all depends on what happens right before them, and who falls into their lap. You know, I don't think that there's a tremendous hunger for any of these quarterbacks, so I think because of that, there'll be less desire to move up to number four. Mm-hmm. Because if there was a quarterback that people wanted, then maybe that pick would be in greater demand.
Right. All right, Sal, thank you so much for taking the time, and we're going to look forward to all the reports emanating from Berea by you, and, of course, we look forward to seeing you when we get back there tomorrow, my friend.
All right, thanks a lot.
Right. Thanks, Sal.
He is the one and only Sal Palantonio, ESPN, who is in Berea. He was actually in our Cleveland Browns Daily Studios there talking with us, and that us being Nathan Zagura, Vic Carucci, yours truly. We are here in Radio City Music Hall in New York. Coming up next, we're going to have a conversation with another national NFL journalist. He is Jason Lockenfora from CBS Sports, their insider. That's coming up next on this draft day edition of CBD from New York, ESPN 850 WKNR.